We are different. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Chapter 1. Called out of darkness into his light. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I are God's own special people. If you are a Christian, a believer, you qualify. The Bible explains that the reason we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people is because we are supposed to be proclaiming, publishing, and declaring the praises, the excellencies, the wonderfulness, and the attributes of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, when people see us Christians, they need to see how excellent, virtuous, perfect, and wonderful the God who called us is. You and I are here on earth to make God look good. The Bible says that we have been called out of darkness into his light. We were once living in an environment of darkness. It shaped our thought processes, behaviors, and cultures. But God pulled us out of that and brought us into light. Now, light is our environment, and it shapes our thought processes, behaviors, and cultures. And because we are light and not part of darkness, we really are different. Amen. Darkness, as explained in the New Testament. A place where those doing evil deeds hide. John chapter 3 verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. So, darkness is a place where those who do evil things want to hide. The power of Satan. Acts chapter 26 verse 18. To open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The Lord told Paul, I want you to bring people out of darkness into light, from the power of Satan to God. So, the word darkness actually refers to the power of Satan. Those who are spiritually blind. Romans chapter 2 verse 19. And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Realm of the unsaved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 to 15. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 and 15, the word darkness is referred to as the realm of the unsaved, the realm of unrighteousness, the domain of Satan. The demonic rulers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We fight against demons of darkness, rulers of darkness. So once again, darkness is referred to as the realm in which demons operate. It is definitely not a nice environment to be in. Light, as explained in the New Testament. The good news for all of us believers is that we have been brought out of darkness and into light. Jesus is the light. Those following Jesus will not walk in darkness. John chapter 8 verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John chapter 12 verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Light refers to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Children of the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. God is light and there is no darkness in him. So the word light in the New Testament refers to the domain where God is. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 6. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 8 and 11. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And we must not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. Romans chapter 12 verses 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Message Bible explains the same verse as, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Conformed equals to take on the form, fashion, or appearance of another. It could refer to any habit, manner, dress, or style of living that the world has taken on. Age, in Greek, ion equals age, or generation of people. Transformed equals put on another form. There is supposed to be a real and radical difference in our way of living as believers. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord, and hence we ought to walk as children of light. The word walk does not refer to just where we tread, but refers to our whole existence, our lives, the way we live, our behaviors, in essence everything in our lives, that should be patterned after those who live in the light and not after those who live in darkness. When we walk as somebody who is in the light, we are going to run against those who are in darkness. Because the world is darkness and we are light, we may seem weird to them. We may seem like aliens to them and they may not understand us. Why? Because we are light. And we are going to be totally opposite to those who are in darkness. The Bible instructs us to walk as children of light. So we will go in a different direction from the people of darkness. We are different. We should not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Because we are people of light, we have to walk according to the light. We ought not to have any fellowship or partnership with those in darkness. When we talk about the word fellowship, we can picture two fellows in the same ship. The Bible warns us against getting into the world ship, for we have no fellowship with those who are in darkness. Instead, we are to expose them. We ought to drive or ride in our own ship, the ship of light. The world may be going in the ship of darkness, but we cannot jump in there with them. We cannot have fellowship with the works of darkness, with the deeds of darkness. We cannot partner with them in the same works that they do, for we are light. The Word of God asks us not to pattern ourselves after the world, but instead to be transformed. The word transformed, as explained earlier, comes from the Greek word metamorphose. It is the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly. So also, we ought to take on different forms, behaviors, and thought patterns. We should not be conformed to this world, taking on the fashion, appearance, habit, manner, lifestyle, and behavior of this world. When we are transformed, we are really different from the world. So, you and I cannot remain conformed to the world. We are called by God to be transformed, to be different from the world. Chapter 2. The Word of God versus the world's culture. The Word of God is a higher authority than the culture we live in. We must understand that the culture we live in is more influenced by darkness than light. We do not live according to the culture of the world, but according to the culture of light, the culture of the kingdom that we are a part of. This kingdom culture is spelt out for us in the Word of God. What may be acceptable in the world's culture may contradict the written Word of God. but God expects us to obey His word. When we live as one in the light, we are going to be different. We are going to be consecrated people. We are going to be His own special people who are publishing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His own light. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, from the Message Bible. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Many of us may be doing things just because it is part of the culture we live in. Well, the Bible warns us not to just fit into the culture without even thinking about it. This is because what the Word of God says is far more important than the culture we live in. If there is something in the world's culture that contradicts the Word of God, then our only choice should be to obey God's Word, for it supersedes our culture. That is why the Bible instructs us, do not be conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12 verse 2a. The Greek word for age is aion, which refers to the behavior of the present time. Do not conform yourself to the culture of the world around you, but instead be transformed. That is a command of God, not merely a suggestion. Amen. Chapter 3. We are different. There are at least two areas in which you and I are different from the world. We are committed to integrity and honesty. The world does not care about integrity and honesty because they are in darkness. But because the Bible says we are people of light, we have to walk as children of light, committed to integrity and honesty. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9-12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We ought to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. As believers, we are called to walk honorably and honestly before the Gentiles, the unsaved world. Hence, as people of the light, we must be committed to integrity and honesty. When people look at us, they must realize that we are different, because we are committed to integrity and honesty. As students, for instance, in school or college, assume that the invigilator goes out for a tea break when you are writing your exams and everybody else begins copying. And the person sitting next to you asks you to do the same. But you ought to refuse to copy or cheat in your exams, not because you are afraid that the invigilator will walk back in, but because you know you are a child of light. Also, while doing your homework assignments, do not make a copy of the assignment done by your classmate and pretend it is yours. Why not? Because you are committed to integrity and honesty. As professionals. As professionals too, you should maintain integrity in your lives. You are not only a professional, but also a child of the light, which makes you different from a professional who is in darkness. There may be two of you in the same area of business, but you may be two totally different people. And just because you are committed to integrity and honesty, you choose not to lie in your resume. When I was applying for my very first job, I had spent all my time up to that point in the university, doing research. When it was time for me to get a job outside the university, I did what everyone would normally do, give my resume to a placement agency. A friend of mine had introduced me to a placement agency in New Jersey that was run by Indians. So I gave my resume to them with the hope of being easily placed in a good job, as they had promised. Later, I got a call from them saying that they needed to make certain changes in my resume. They reworked my resume, and overnight I had about 2 to 3 years of work experience in companies I have never heard of. Here was a choice: I could either be a child of light and choose to be different, or I could be a child of darkness and lie. I stopped interacting with the agency, saying I could not use the resume they had prepared. My resume was a simple one-page resume, and that was it. I then sent it out directly believing that God will provide me with a job in a good company, where I would learn some of the best practices that were in the industry. And he did. I did not have to lie or fake anything on my resume. While interviewing people for our organization, there was once a young man who had done fine in our technical test and had come to talk to me in the last round of interviews. When I asked him who he worked for, he mentioned some company's name and gave me their website address. But when I checked the URL he had given, it looked like that of a search engine company, and not the software development company that he said it was. When I rechecked with him, he replied that the company may have changed their website. Then when I asked him for their phone number, he replied that he had changed his SIM card and hence did not have their number. I asked him for any of their landline numbers and he said he did not know that either. I asked him how it could be possible for him to work for that company for a year and yet not remember their landline number, whereas in most companies employees get to know their office phone numbers after working there for just a few days. The young man then finally admitted that he had lied about the work experience in his resume. A similar instance happened at a Christian conference in another city where I had been preaching for 3 days. In between the sessions, I was introduced to a young man who had just moved to Bangalore and was looking for a job in a certain area of software development. I asked him his name, qualifications, and the background. He replied that he had done a 3-month course but was going on a 5-year experience. I needed to understand what he meant by that and so had asked him to meet me when we returned to Bangalore. Later, he met me and explained that he had been working with a pastor for 2 years, assisting him in full-time ministry. After a while, he felt the need to get a job and hence joined a professional course for 3 months. After that course, he wrote his resume stating that he had 5 years' work experience, though he actually did not. He went on to add that he was telling me the truth only because I was a pastor. I did not know how to react, but was glad that he had at least told me the truth. However, I was sad that someone who had been serving God in church full-time for 2 years would lie, just to get a job. The Bible says that we ought to walk as children of light, which means that there can be no compromise in our integrity as professionals. As a Christian professional or employee, make sure you do not misuse office facilities. Even the Bible says so. Titus chapter 2 verses 9-10. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Encourage bondservants, employees in bond, to be obedient to their own masters, or to their own employers. Employees ought to be well-pleasing in all things and not be rude to their bosses. It is a biblical management principle. Employees should also not pilfer but show good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God as Savior in all things. So as a Christian employee, even if everybody else in your office does wrong, do not conform to that. You have to be different. It may even be part of your company's unstated culture that in addition to the salary paid, employees avail whatever they want from the office. But because you are a child of light and have been called out of darkness to walk in that light as an employee, you must take only what you are paid and worked hard for. How are you going to show the world that you are a child of God amidst a perverse and a wicked generation? The Bible instructs us to live as people of integrity and to do all things without grumbling and complaining, so that we can show ourselves to be children of God in the middle of a perverse and wicked generation. Philippians chapter 2 verses 14-15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If colleagues grumble and complain at office, and we also join in, then what is the difference between them and us? We need to show that we are children of light by doing everything without grumbling and complaining. Amen. For those of us employers who run businesses and make decisions about salaries for our employees, the Bible tells us not to exploit people or hold back wages. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 13. You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. If you have people working for you, ensure they get paid on time. You may say that it is the Indian company culture to sometimes hold back salaries. But listen, we do not belong to that culture but to the culture of God's kingdom. And God says that we ought not to hold back the wages of the person we hire. If your employee has done his job, pay him. Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 13. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work. Do not use your neighbor's services without giving him something for what he has done. Housewives, if you have maids working for you, do pay them on time. Be different. When I interview people, I ask them why they are quitting their present jobs. Some of them tell me that they have not been paid for as long as 6 months. These are employees working in large companies with 700 people in it. God does not approve of such a work culture. A contractor who had set up a huge rooftop for a big software company in Bangalore had invested lots of rupees in getting the job done and yet had not been paid for 2 years. As children of light and as employers, we must learn to maintain integrity and honesty in all areas of life, including our speech and conduct. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. During one of my meetings with a person, the host offered me coffee and I accepted. Another person with us refused, saying he had just had breakfast. When I asked the host to join me in the refreshments, he replied that he was fasting. Immediately, the other person who had just confessed to having had breakfast said that he too was fasting, just to impress the host. I wondered then what had happened to integrity among us Christians. Are we not supposed to be different from the world? Are we not supposed to be people of light? Are we not supposed to be nonconformists to the world but transformed and living according to the ways and thoughts of God? We are committed to purity and modesty. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Stay away from fleshly lusts. As people proclaiming the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we ought to abstain from fleshly lusts. We have to be committed to purity and modesty. Young ladies. A good example of a godly young lady is Rebecca St. James, one of the well-known Christian rock artists. She sings a lot of Christian songs that teens and twenties listen to. In an interview with Amy Goodman for FamilyLife.com, she spoke on a topic titled Dedicated to Modesty. The following is an excerpt from that broadcast. Rebecca says, "I suppose I have placed my own sense of attractiveness in different things. You know, because I know that the kind of things that I wear draws a certain kind of guy. And ultimately the guy that I want to have as a husband is a guy that's committed to purity. He doesn't want to lust. If I'm dressing kind of seductively in what I'm wearing, I'm going to be attracting a guy that is okay with that, and it almost says that I'm impure, but that he's okay with that. Whereas, if I'm dressing modestly, it's going to attract a guy that respects that and appreciates that. So I'm okay with dressing that way. I like to wear funky, cool, modern clothes, and to find things that are modest and are not showing too much flesh and are not too tight. It's very, very hard to find that. But it's such a worthwhile battle, because I so believe in being modest and not leading other young girls to do the wrong thing, but also not causing my brothers in Christ to stumble and to lust. You know, a lot of times my dad, if he thinks that something, you know, is a little bit more on the edge than what I usually wear, he'll say, 'Oh, that's a boy-getter outfit.' So he'll kind of tease me about it, but it's something that, really, he has a problem with, he'll come straight to me. Sometimes dad has this, I think, little girl, little daughter impression, you know, that makes him maybe be a little bit more critical of something that I would wear. Mom kind of balances him out. And so I think between the two of them, you know, over my teen years, especially, I've gotten some good balanced feedback. If it was just my dad, it might have been a little bit more erring to one side, especially the conservative side. They always encouraged me, and I suppose, especially my mom through how she dressed, to wear things that were not showing too much skin, skirts and shorts that weren't too short, things that weren't too tight. It's like I always knew, deep down, that that was the right way to go too. And I wanted to live that way, too. I didn't want to do something that would displease my parents, and I didn't want to do something that would displease God or hurt other people. And so I think it's my own sense of responsibility, as a Christian, before God, that I want to do the right thing. It is interesting, when I first started out in music, coats were kind of the in thing, and so that's fine, because, you know, you can be really modest with coats. Coats aren't quite so cool right now. You know, funky tops, and, a lot of times, a lot of flesh showing in these tops is, kind of, the thing that you see on TV, you know, at the stores, and trying to find something that is modest and funky and cool is difficult. I have a few guidelines that I use for the things that I wear, both on stage and off. One of the things that I am very aware of is I want to wear pants, especially on stage. Going around, you know, in a skirt would be very difficult, especially since I sing rock music. Also making sure that what I wear is not too tight, like showing every single curve. Like, even the top that I'm wearing right now, if I wore it just as it is, it would be very, very tight, but I'm wearing two shirts underneath it so that it's not quite so form-fitting. That's something that can really lead a guy on in a bad way. It does, and we had a speaker at our church share with girls in our youth group a few years ago, and she said, "We have guys coming to this youth group complaining because they don't know where to look. You know, they're coming to worship God and to draw closer to Him, and they're seeing girls that have such tight clothes and not enough on, and they just don't know where to look. And so it's so distracting. Modesty is so key. A lot of girls, I think, don't understand the power of how you dress and the impact it has on a brother in the Lord, on guys. Let us look at one key statement from this excerpt. Rebecca states that the kind of things she wears will draw a certain kind of guy. Young ladies, if you dress seductively, you are going to attract those kind of guys. Do you want that kind of guy to be your husband? Some of you may still be unsure. What Rebecca says is so perceptive. If anyone should want to dress cool and look cool, it should be Rebecca St. James. She is up on stage singing before thousands of people, producing many albums and so on. I am sure she would definitely love to dress cool, look cool, and attract a big crowd. Instead, she says, "The way I dress, it's so important that I want to be modest, because I don't want to lead other young girls astray. And I do not want my brothers in Christ to stumble and lust." Here is a young famous girl who is committed to modesty and has made her stand as a Christian very clear. Young ladies, you need to be different from other women in the world by being committed to purity and modesty. That may make you feel like the ugly duckling among your circle of friends, but the Bible says that it is the beauty of the inner spirit that God is looking for. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 3-4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel; rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Do you want to look beautiful in God's eyes or in man's eyes? Make your choice. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 8-10. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but, which is proper for women professing godliness, with good works. Paul describes a prayer meeting setting where men are lifting up holy hands and are looking heavenwards, and then suddenly changes the topic, saying, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Why would Paul address the issue of women's clothing? I suspect they had the same problem way back then, as we are having today. Men are doing their best to lift up holy hands and look to God, but something else is distracting them and pulling them down. And that is why Paul instructs women who are praying there to adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation. Not with braided hair, gold, pearl, or costly clothing, but that which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Young women, dress in sobriety in a way that shows reverence, that is discreet, that shows that you have some kind of self-control. The standard Paul sets for Christian women is to dress in a way that proclaims and professes godliness. Amen. So how do you choose clothes? Think on these things. Does it proclaim godliness? Does it proclaim godlikeness? Does it proclaim piety? Does it proclaim devoutness to God? This is what should determine your choice of clothing. Parents. Notice the influence that Rebecca's parents had on her life. She is a celebrity. But yet, they have an influence on the way she walks and the way she lives. Parents. You need to speak to your children who are in their teens and twenties. Do not lag in your responsibility saying that you will send them to church and hopefully the pastor will talk to them about these issues from the pulpit. Older women. Titus chapter 2 verses 4-5. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Paul asks older women to instruct the younger women to be discreet and chaste. To be discreet and chaste means to be sober, virtuous, clean, innocent, and pure. This is God's standard. The younger women may argue when everyone else, including their friends, are dressing in a manner that exposes so much of the body, as to why they alone should be dressing modest. They may also think that if men have a problem with such dressing, it can only be their problem. Well, not really. Younger women need to be taught that the kind of dress they wear will attract exactly a similar kind of guy. So, it can become their problem too. Women should not dress in a way that is seductive. They should dress in a modest and decent manner that professes godliness, because they are daughters of light. The Word of God tells all of us not to be stumbling blocks, and so older women need to train the younger women not to become thus. Young men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3-5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. God has not called us to immorality but to holiness. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, you have been set apart for God. And one of the greatest challenges that young men face is the lust of the eyes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. Stay away from all appearances of evil. For example, I admit it is very difficult driving around the streets of Bangalore. There may be praise and worship songs playing in the car to provide a spiritual atmosphere for you to commune with God while you drive, but as you drive along the roads you see a huge billboard with a scantily dressed woman standing beside a small car. You wonder if they are selling the woman or the car. And yet you dare not close your eyes in the fear of crashing into the bus in front of you. Even when we open some of our morning newspapers to read the news headlines, the first thing we see is not the headlines, but scantily dressed women in every page. So we may decide to change our subscription to another newspaper, only to find out that every paper is trying to keep up with the other papers. So we may stop subscribing to newspapers and decide instead to read the news on the internet. We innocently click on a link, but the result is the same since there is vulgarity everywhere. So, what should we do? Remember the chorus we used to sing in Sunday school? Be careful, little eyes, what you see, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. Things taught in Sunday school are often very profound. Those lessons seem to almost be prophetic in nature, for they are indicators of what we would face even 50 years down the line. We ought to keep telling ourselves that we are children of light. We cannot prevent the first look, but we can definitely avoid the second glance. We may not have known the billboard was there, and so we may have looked, but if we go past the billboard and then turn around for a second glance, then we have a problem. We ought to be committed to purity and modesty in our lives because we are children of light, and so we refuse the second glance. Amen. There are some standards for dating that can be followed. Young people. When you are dating, avoid getting physically involved in going to places where you are likely to do things that you do not want others to know. Avoid being alone, just the two of you, and that too behind closed doors. You know everybody else may be getting physically involved, but remember you are different. You are committed to purity in your life. Parents. Parents need to wake up. You need to speak to your teens and twenties. You may ask for help from the pastor to advise your son or daughter, but do not expect the pastor or the church to do what God made you responsible for. As long as your children are living under your roof and eating off your table, you are the boss. The church will teach them the Word of God, try to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, and mature in Christ, but as parents, they are your responsibility. For example, if your son brings a girl home from his college and instead of staying in your living room, they choose to go to your son's room and close the door. You may be busy making a cup of tea for the girl, but if you find them alone in a closed room, please knock on that door, get them out of that room, for they have no business sitting behind closed doors in your house. You may fret that your son may not come back home to you the next day if you do so. You may even excuse his behavior, saying that he faithfully attends church, all the youth meetings, is a very godly boy, and so may not be doing anything wrong inside. Parents, remember that your young children have hormones. And we do not deharmonize people at church. So while it may be true that your children are faithfully attending church, you are responsible for them at home. You have to enforce standards of purity and modesty that the Bible requires of us Christians. The church will do its part by telling them what is right and wrong. But when you allow your children to sit behind closed doors with a member of the opposite sex, in one moment of weakness, their hormones can overcome all the sermons they have ever heard in church and all the prayerful hands that have been laid on their heads. Parents need to put their foot down when it comes to dealing with their children, or else you will realize one day that you have failed to set godly standards in your own home. Married couples. As married couples, we need to maintain purity in our lives. Husbands and wives must be committed to each other. We are Christians, people of the light. We must be committed to sexual purity and modesty in our own marriages. Husbands and wives, find your sexual needs met within your own marriages. Refuse to look outside. Others in the world may look outside for sexual fulfillment, but we are different. The Bible says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You and I have been called out of darkness to live as people of light. The Bible says we are light, and hence we should walk as children of light. We have to be radically different from the world around us. In our places of work or profession, as an employee, as an employer, as a homemaker, we have to be radically different from those around us, for that is what God wants of us. As a young man, young woman, a parent, a husband, a wife, we are different. We are committed to purity in our lives, and there is no compromise. Compromise always leads to captivity. The day we start compromising in our lives, we can be sure that we will be down into our own prisons. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.